stood up front and gave my testimony too. It's good for us to have a testimony. I feel sorry for the ones that don't. We pray for each other. We have some young ones that come to the Lord at an early age and some that do older and have more things to sort through. You know, we all find ourselves at different places. And for Jeffrey, it sounded quite simple, and I think it is. It can be that way when we have the opportunity that he had. But there's many that don't. But the same blood can save your souls and change your souls like it did for him. God doesn't run out when the project's bigger. When God is big, the project is small. Let's don't forget that. But when God seems very small, the project looks big. And that all starts up here. God has promised us that there is grace according to the need. He's promised that. For myself, I'm a little more practical-minded, so, you know, when I think about that, some people explain it through theology, but I'm a little more hands-on, so I think of a payloader, and there's 3 and 6 and 9-yard payloaders, but you get a 944 Cat. It's about a 9-yard loader. That's a big loader. And I look at that, and I watch him scoop into a pile and dump, and if he's not careful, he'll flatten the truck, you know. He has to be careful at the load he gives them, you know, a little bit at a time. But he gives that, and I look at that loader and just dumping, and I think about God up in heaven, and God loves to take his cattle on 1,000 hills and move them around and sprinkle them here and there, and grace and cattle and grace and cattle. And he loves sprinkling them or dumping them at times. And then he loves to just sit there and watch and see what happens. When it's ready, he's got more. He's got more. He's not going to run out. Doesn't matter what time of day. His gates are never closed. And he has more. To some, he gives 10 talents, and to some, they have a hard time knowing what to do with the one that they have. But that's okay. We have a God of grace that can take 1 or 10 and multiply it from there. He's not hindered by the things that we're hindered with. He's not hindered with time. He's not hindered with the abundance. He has all. Praise God for that. We need a God that big. Well, why don't we have a word of prayer? I feel a need for that. Let's pray. Lord, I come before you this morning. I lift up my heart to you, Lord, and just ask that you could give clear direction to my thoughts, to your word. Lord, as we dig in, your word is alive and real to them that seek you and know you. And you're not far off. And I pray, oh God, this morning you could come and work and move amongst us and help us, Lord, to be drawn closer to yourself. I pray for clear thoughts and a direction as I share from your word. Pray you give me inspiration and help us as we sort through these truths where we can apply them to our own lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm not sure where the markers are, but sometimes on top here. Okay. I'm a little vertically challenged here and I can't see them. All right. Well, this morning, the message that I'm thinking about is let brotherly love continue. There's something about it when a church has a love for one another. You can feel it. When a husband, we had couples night the other night. When a couple loves each other, you can feel it at home. You can. When you come to church and there's a love for each other, you can feel it. Now I say that, and I'm going to ask you, brothers, I want to put a list up here. How are some ways that you can feel it? What would be noticeable in a situation? When you walk in the doors, what should stand out to you if there's love, like I'm talking about? We enjoy seeing each other. Any others?
Joy.
There's a joy.
Relaxed and free-flowing conversation.
Free-flowing conversation. Any others? You're not dodging each other when it comes time to greet them or say hi, are you? You're not turning away.
Say a hearty welcome. God bless you.
Right, hearty welcome. Kindness.
Compassion.
There's the compassion. And we heard this morning that compassion goes beyond words, doesn't it? If the need takes something out of our wallet, we're willing to give it, right? It goes beyond just words. So we could write more, and I'd like to fill that board on the one hand, because we don't need to write what it shouldn't look like, right? We all know what it feels like when it's not there. The world understands that very well. But in the church of God, we should know what these things are in a real way. Kind words. Free-flowing conversation, a relaxed atmosphere. And we want to grow in those things and learn to, that those things could become a more and more of a reality for each one. And so this morning I'm thinking about the scripture in Matthew chapter 22. I've been in this setting a few years. I was thinking about it, and I still think about Brother Denny different times. How many of you ever met Brother Denny? Have you ever heard that name before? There's a few. He was a real, I would say he was a hero to me, if that's the right way to say that. It was a real blessing. And I've listened to, I don't know if hundreds would be too big of a statement, but I've listened to well over 100 messages that he preached. Coming from the setting I did, I got changed in 7 years. It wasn't an overnight experience. You don't take a Calvinist and turn him into an Anabaptist in heart without marinating him a while. Let's just put it that way. So here we have and he used this example different times. And some time ago, I think we all probably saw the news where one of these bridges came down, didn't we? You children know about that? How many of you saw that the bridge there came down? Any of you children remember hearing about that in the news? That was a big bridge. The ship came and he crashed right into the base of this post. And these suspension bridges don't work when the middle peg is missing, and the whole thing came down. But there's a gap here between God and man. And God did not want to see that gap continue. And through Jesus Christ, that gap got taken care of. And it's that same love that does it again and again today. Christ's love being made known to mankind bridges that gap. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. There are some verses here that I don't know, it's good to highlight your Bible. I don't know how many of you make notes in your Bible. But if you go to verse 40 and draw a picture of one of these bridges, it would be good if you do that. I did that about 30 years ago. And whenever I see that, I think about these thoughts. Whenever I scan my page, there's a half of a message comes out of that without even thinking very far, because I have memories. And the memory of that message that I heard, he repeated the phrase so often it still sticks in my mind. The theme of the message was, others, Lord, others. I don't know if you ever heard that message, but he brought it out again and again, you know, others, Lord. And if we look at the burden that God had for mankind, it took a tremendous work of grace through Jesus Christ to bridge that gap between the two. It was huge. It wasn't easily done. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you have God and man, and there's the golden rule. Does any one of you children know the golden rule? Go ahead, Winston there, I believe your name. As you'd have them to do unto you, right? I think he paraphrased that one a little bit. We'll straighten that one out. But he got the thought. His tongue was feeble and his mind was clear, I believe. That's how it works for us all sometimes. But the big thing that God wanted to get across through the blood of Jesus Christ is that thought. There's two things, just like this bridge has two posts, there's two things that we need to keep in mind. Have a clear, solid relationship with Jesus Christ, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, at couples night, we talked about our neighbor. You have some close neighbors here this morning. We have our spouses. And that's where the test starts early on in life. When you get married, there's a test there to keep that relationship clear, solid, and close. It's there. That's there for us to work at. But there's also the thing of loving our neighbor, and that's not always easy. I've been an employer for 21 years now, and in the course of my business experience, it's gone fairly well overall. But throughout those years, it never fails that God gave me one that I'd have to sit one employee that I'd have to sit down with about every 2 weeks and straighten something out. There's just something in that person that just wouldn't flow. I mean, it's never failed in 21 years. I think he's given me a few months break now and then. But by and large, they all worked well, but there was one of them that took a lot of patience and grace. Why do you think God allowed that? Wouldn't it be easier to just fire him, you know?
I want to think to perfect you and him both.
That's right, the school of life, right? How else are we going to be effective on this earth if we aren't making this principle clear to all men, right? It's easy to love them that love you, right? The ones that pay on time, you know, all that. And the ones that hide in the woods somewhere, they're harder to work with and to love. You know, there's just, the money's hard to come by. The words are many and the checks are few. And maybe the checks they give aren't good. How do you sort that out? And then there's these people we work with day to day, and the opportunities are there, and we need to see them that way, or we could really get a sour attitude. If we don't see it that way, and we get a sour attitude, that bridge just collapses. And we do it by our own doings. And we're human. And it's real. But it's very important that the love of God is real in our hearts, so that we can make it real to their hearts. I had one worker, and he was Amish. He still is, actually. He's a better Amish now than he was, though. He stopped stealing. He's the one, well, I've had a couple workers that had this problem, but he was bold about it. He stole. He's a thief, wearing plain clothes. It don't matter what you wear, still have the same heart problems, you know. He was an old order fellow. And anyway, I told him one day, I said, you know, I don't hire thieves. And I'm not changing my policy. So we're going to start having Bible studies. What do you think? Well, this was the way it was set up. His parents were here saying that's what he needed to do. And he had a board then that got appointed that said he needed to do. And they didn't let him get out of it. And so he had Bible studies, you know. And he never really told me, but there's something that happened in his heart. I think it would have, because we talked about it, you know, what if this fellow gets born again? He's been baptized already, you know. I don't know if you know what that means to the Amish, but that's kind of a big deal, you know. If you're baptized, but you get born again afterwards, what does the Bible teach, you know? I let them try to work that part of it out, but I thought it's okay if he gets right with God anyway, you know. And I do believe he got right with God to a point. It was a challenge for him. He had a real problem. But it was about a year and a half we had Bible studies, and praise God, this thing changed. It's not been easy. He slipped a few times. We've talked about it. You know, you can do that by the time clock. You can do it by the cash drawer. There's lots of ways you can do that. But he's pressing on to walk clear. And he's come, and we've talked, and I've asked a few times, but he's been really pressing to maintain it clear, and he still works for me. But God can do things like that. He can help us to do what can seem impossible. He can do that. But if there's no love, that's the bottom line where the fuel is to move hearts in the right direction. Takes love. If people don't understand the love that God had for mankind, what's there to live for to make a difference? You know, it's God's desire. Let's turn to James chapter 2. I've got a couple different passages that I want to go through. James chapter 2. I've got a number of different subjects I'd like to walk through or different points. This thing of loving one another and letting brotherly love continue, I have different aspects I'm going to bring out. There's different points I have that'll touch different areas of our church life and home life. And I just want to go through some of those. James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou over there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. And it goes on. Nathan already covered some of the second half. We want to look at the first half here. The first verse there talks about having the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and then having respect of persons. And that's like oil and water, they don't mix. I don't care what culture you come from, when you treat somebody with partiality and with preference, they feel it. It makes no difference on their skin color and what they believe or where they're coming from. Mankind knows when they've been put down and when they've been lifted up or they're treated equal. Everybody knows that. You don't even have to be able to talk. At a young age, they can sense that. It's real. It's in the fiber of mankind. And it's a tendency in any culture to judge people according to what's the status quo, what's about right, what's the end thing, where people are kind of put out or where they're put in, or you're on the in group. People know when they're on the out group. Or when they're the underdog or they're treated that way. People know that. And it's not to be in the church of God. These things won't flow when it's like that. It just won't. You know, you'll have someone walking in the door and they'll walk out the door with no resolve to see change. What changes the heart, what draws the heart unto God is love. It's of God. We're carnal. But that's of God. And when man sees that, they want it. Because we were made to live that way. In our heart, we want it. Well, we find ourselves hindered from obtaining that goal in a perfect way. Thus, we have the need for this bridge, right? It's there. We were made to live that way. Fellowship with God. And I've said before, and I don't know if you've heard me say, but back in the garden, God communicated with man face to face. And you know what? Facebook hasn't made it any better, has it? Technology hasn't improved on it, has it? Texting, WhatsApping, and the whole social platform has not improved on face-to-face communication, has it? Zoom is pretty good. You know, that app is pretty good. But there's something about a person's body language and the spirit they're conveying it in that God made face-to-face to be the best. And it's never gotten any better. And we've worked at it, mankind's worked at it, but this right here, this is a three-dimensional expression of what love is. However you want to explain it in its fullest way. When people see love that way, yeah, it's there. They know it's there. They felt it. They smelled it. They tasted it. Their senses affirm that it's real. And God made that to be real love. And so when we have that amongst us, and it goes on here, he says in verse 1, brothers, he knew that things are going on at church there where there's partiality, and I don't know if it was the Jew and Gentile thing. I don't know what it was. I didn't research that before this morning. But that was the thing they faced tremendously with circumcision, meats, and holy days. And it's no different in the Amish, and it's no different in the Baptist and the Reformed. We all have, in my church growing up, if you weren't Dutch, you weren't much. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but people felt that. The local town people would come, and we had a Reformed church, and they spoke fluent Dutch. different than this Ohio, and I don't know what you guys talk up here in Michigan, but there's different dialects of Dutch. And that's okay, it makes no difference to God. But when these people didn't talk same, they didn't fit in same, you know? And that's a cultural thing anywhere you go in this world. It makes no difference. The culture takes it with it. Jews have the same problem that the Amish and the Mennonites do today. We have to work at this thing. It's not natural. We tend to look at how they dress, right? The Jews looked at how they ate, what they ate, where they went, who they ate with. Is there not some sameness today that we face? Same thing, different culture, different place, different time, same heart problem, right? And this word here is same. He says, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with partiality of respective persons. Think like I did. Think the way I do. Die and give your heart and life for those people. Give to them, serve them, because they need what I gave you freely. And it's for you to give because I gave to you. Freely ye have received, freely give. How often? 70 times 7, then quit. Right? All the time, he says, right? So I think if you go to his house, you should get it all the time, right? Brother, I'm here, right? What can we do? That should be our heart. And the challenge is there, not 70 times 7. What Jesus was getting at is go beyond, right? Not stop at 490. You missed the point. If he'd have done it one more time, that's all it would have took. You know? Do we sometimes stop one time too soon? I don't know if you've ever had any of those opportunities where God let you work with a difficult situation for about 3 years and you felt like you invested all that time and it still didn't come out of the situation, it stayed that way. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but if you've ever had the opportunity to do that for a number of years, I want you to know it was worth it. God is glorified through that. It was not in vain. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. There's some hard situations, and if you plant the seed, God knows what to do with the planted seed. Right? Sometimes we have those opportunities. For a number of years, we can pour ourselves out, and then it seems like it made no difference in the end. God, what was that all about? Why was that for? Doesn't matter. It's his work. Let's keep doing it. But for the grace of God, it might have stopped too soon for me. What about you? So freely have received, freely
give.
That's a child's level lesson, but some of us older ones, we miss it sometimes. So children, help us with that. I'm getting a little older, and I spend time talking with my boys. My boys, they're not here this morning. My youngest is. I have three others. And I've worked with them for a number of years. And what happens, I was telling a brother of my age the other day, I said, you know what, brother? I said, our children, they're actually passing us up on some of the things we taught, and I think we need to actually stop and listen. I think they're getting the point clearly and better than we are. That's kind of humbling. But it's the way it ought to be. If we teach our children and they're hearing what we say and they're applying it more open-mindedly than we do because we've got our guards up, you know, we're 50. We've been there, done that once or twice, and we learned our lesson. We're not doing that again. That sometimes hinders us. And sometimes God can't do what he wants to do because we know what to do, right? So So let's don't lose that open mind. The Bible speaks about being of a ready mind. And this respect of persons doesn't fit in there. Our reason would tell us one thing, but Jesus tells us what? To do the other, right? And so let's do that. Sometimes it's not so easy, but it's good to do what God would have us to do. So when we have people come in those doors, it's good that these things take place, right? So God help us, right? We need that. It's real. And then we move on down, and for sake of time, I think we'll turn to Colossians chapter 3. I've got some thoughts that kind of bounce between these two passages. I'd like to turn to Colossians 3. There's a lot of scripture in this chapter that we could park on. I'm not going to read it all through for sake of time, but I'd like to read the first few verses, and it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then it goes on and it talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh. And it goes on down there and it talks about, in verse 10, to put on the new man. And that's the challenge that we face, brothers. You know, some of us have been walking this face of this earth a little longer than others, learned a few more things, and we need each other. There are some brothers that see things a mile down the road, and there's some brothers that see what's at hand today and wonder what you're so worried about. You know? I heard a brother say at one time that the one made things happen, the other one saw it happen, and the other one wondered what happened. There's about three types of people out there, and it hasn't changed. The one made things happen, the other one saw it happen, and the other one wondered what happened. If you employ or you work with people long enough, you'll find it works that way. There's about 40% of the population that leads and makes things happen, and 60% are made to be helpers. And you can readjust that, and certain jobs make it flow different. But by and large, we're the way we're made, and it works best when we function in those places. And when we can help each other, it's good. There's nothing wrong with that. The one that gets himself into so many things and needs help to get it done is in that predicament normally. He'll find himself in that place. He needs help. And the other ones are fulfilled by knowing what they can do to help. It makes them tick. They got a reason to go to work in the morning. Where's my list? Let's get it done. And then the other fellow's got too much to do and he can't get it done, you know? It takes both. And that'll never change. It'll be that way till the end of time. And by God's grace, when we can learn to work together and value each other, that smells good, it feels good, and it tastes good. What I'm saying by that is that that love is real when it's there, and it ought to be there, brothers. We need that. Let's don't lose that. And some of these things here in this first part of the chapter, they're talking about things that we should be putting off and things that we should be putting on. And that's for all three types of people, okay? We all need to be doing that. If any of those things hinder us, these things won't flow, okay? We need that. And we're going to move on and keep going here. When you get down to verse 16, I like to read from 16 to the end. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." In verse 17, it talks about word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. And then it goes on to different relational things we run into. In these different things, each one of them, this thing of communication is a very real thing. I'd like to just park on that thought a little bit. So you can tell somebody something. I run into this at my shop regularly in all the different departments. It's something we work at. You know, you can tell somebody something. You can tell your wife something. How many of you ever said, "Honey, that's not what I mean"? Did you ever have that problem at work or at home? "No, that's not what I meant. This is what I mean." If we don't have a humble or an open atmosphere and kindness flowing in there, you're going to judge them for not reading you right when, you know what, you're the one that gave the words. What did they perceive? It's funny. You can preach a message and 80% of the people will get your thought clear. The other 20% will misunderstand you sometimes. And they miss the point that you tried to make. Maybe their mind is looking at a different direction, but the way you said it or the way you came across in your body language gave an impression, right? Do you know what I mean? It does that. At home, we face that. We love to see our children take what we do, embrace it, and apply it. We like to see that works. We like to see that response engaging. It frustrates the relationship when you see they hear it, but you know it stops there, right? Mothers know what that's like. Fathers do. You told them, but they didn't take it in here and do something with it. It stopped right after you said it, right? How we communicate, the way we communicate, it's our responsibility when we're the giver to have a humble attitude enough that we can bridge that if it doesn't come across right. We need to do something about that. If it doesn't come across right, it very well may be our fault. Did you ever think about that? So if we can take that and just have a humble attitude, let's see what we can do. This thing here in verse 16, there's something beautiful about that. When we have, and I desire more of it, but when there's teaching and admonishing, and it's done with singing or with hymns and spiritual songs, when the atmosphere is positive and when there's gratefulness and there's joy, that type of communicating builds. And so what he's saying, in your communicating, in these next things that I'm going to go through, he says, it's important that you do it in this way. If it comes across as a blow or heavy or negative or critical, it's going to frustrate the grace of God in the lives of the people, whether it's our children or our workers. We want to be careful with that. How that we do, that we have the grace of God in our hearts, one with another. and that we help each other along. In verse 18, it talks about wives submitting to their husbands. If we can do a good job in that, men, then they won't have their eyes bulging and their heart gasping when it comes time to submit to what we're asking them to do, right? It'll flow. So, if that transition goes smooth, you're doing a good job, keep it up. If it's not working, what are we going to do to change that? Our wives, it's for them to submit. It is. God honors that. He's looking for hearts that submit to their husbands. There's something about it. There's something that turns the heart of God when God sees a woman out of her place and not submitting to her husband and manipulating the circumstances. If you look at Isaac and Rebekah, I don't have time to turn there, and you look at that situation, Isaac and Rebekah, Isaac could not see very well anymore. And Rebekah, I don't think she was hindered with that. Her eyesight worked well. But Rebekah, I don't know if I want to say she was the manipulator. That'd be a strong statement to say. But the one thing she did do, she did manipulate this one time. She thought she could improve upon what he was doing by taking it into her hands and not submitting to the plan that was in place of her husband, didn't she? And women, there's strong tendencies sometimes to get that, let that spirit rise up and feel like turning the circumstances. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, you know what your husband wanted to do, but there's a desire sometimes to twist that one around rather than do what he said the way he said it and trust God with the results. Sometimes the men learn far more by seeing the foolishness of their choice than they do by working with the frustration that is created by the way their wife works it out. Let me tell you, sisters, us men, sometimes we need glasses, right? We don't see so good. But let me tell you, when God chastens your man, he does a good job, and I don't think you can improve upon it. I'll just tell you that way. When God does it, he does a good job. Don't try to improve upon it by arranging the circumstances. Let it fall the way it falls. And then be there to help your man when he gets down there and realizes what happened, okay? I'm not saying don't leave him go, boom, you know. There's nothing wrong with reaching out and being loving during all this. But if you get in there and you try to manipulate those circumstances to happen so it looks better, feels better, and everything, and you don't simply let the choice be the way it was, the consequence that you're going to reap from that will not have the sanctifying effect in the life of your husband that it would have if you'd have left it alone. If I had more time, I'd paint a whole story to it. But think about Isaac and Rebekah. Let's just put that one there. It didn't work. The two boys ended up the one tried to kill the other. That was no fix. God used all that. He sure did. But I believe God could have done his work better if he'd have had his way and took care of it than the way it went. So let's just use Isaac and Rebekah for a lesson on that point here in verse 18. Then we move on to verse 19. It talks about husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I was studying this morning, and this verse here really made me chuckle. I don't know, I have a sense of humor sometimes. I was reading in 1 Corinthians 7, I was using my footnotes, and I'll just read this verse for you for sake of time. It says, Paul is writing here and he says, I suppose therefore that it is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be single. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hast not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Now, I don't know, I was just thinking about that. It's kind of humorous to me that Paul, he was single. He never did get married. And he looked at that thing, he says, fellas, just keep life simple, stay single. You're going to have trouble with the flesh if you get married. What do you think he spent a lot of time doing marriage counseling? Probably not. Well, God knows that marriage is good. You know, us fellows that are married, we'd still rather fix things up and talk about it and be married, wouldn't we? You know, Paul, you can have your thinking, I get it. I've spent plenty of time on my back under my dishwasher back when I used to have one. And I know what it is to fix my wife's stuff. And it sometimes was hairpins, you know, that made it not work, you know, and stuff like this. And you pull the long hair out of the dress. The story goes on and on. Our wives, we notice what they do in different places, right? Sink drains, you know, vacuum cleaners, you know, different things. There's something to fix and do. But if we didn't do that, where would creation go if we just stayed single? And we learn so much more when we do fix these things with a smile, and we have opportunities to actually teach our children mechanical skills, right? It gets pretty practical sometimes. You know, Paul had that thinking, and it made me laugh a little. It was about 6 this morning, and I started laughing. I said, Paul, yeah, you have a point, I get it. But I'm still married, and I'm glad to be. You'll have some trouble in the flesh, I get that. The other one, he says, you might have an opportunity to get bitter against your wife. And I think you brothers know what I mean by that. I'm just here to say that to face that feeling is normal and understandable. You can't help the bird flying overhead, right? But you can help where you go with your thoughts and what you do with your actions and your attitudes immediately after the thought comes, right? Amen? You can do something about it. The blood of Jesus can take you out of your selfish, focused circumstance, and it can turn into something good and valuable. Amen? He can do that. Sometimes we're just getting really self-centered when we get bitter in attitudes and feelings, and we look at our wives as trouble or something. Let's just take that to God. Let's bring it. You know what? She washes our clothes, fixes our food, and does many things. How many of you brothers just jump to go do dishes? I don't see any hands. I encourage you, brothers. Okay, one went up. Brothers, go wash dishes, you know. Go for it. I don't know if I should say get in the kitchen and start cooking. There's nothing wrong with that either. By the way, I quit buying dishwashers. I don't buy dishwashers anymore. That was one trouble in the flesh that I got rid of. I told my children I have 7 Armstrong air-powered, air-cooled dishwashers that even put the dishes away. They don't get any better than that. Oh, Dad, you know. Anyway. Side notes for where we can learn from it and find some humor in the midst of these feelings that come sometimes, okay? We get our eyes off the circumstance, it goes a lot better sometimes. And then there's verse 22, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. How many of you know what that's like. If you have a worker, and I just want to encourage you, workers or employers, whatever it is, children, there's something about it when your mom looks out the window and sees you doing what she told you to do. There's something, my wife used the terms, that puts warm circles around her heart. I can't quite relate to all what that means, but she knows what that means, you know? Something like holding the baby, that feeling that you get there when you do the things that women do, it's deep, right? And it's good. And us fellas feel some of that, but it's different for the women. They get a deep level of that. But God gets a deep level of that when he sees a worker working. And not just doing what little you told him to do, but he went and did 120% of the thing. Like, I mean, he finished the job, he swept the floor, put the dishes away, and you didn't even tell him to do that. You just told him to clean the counter or whatever that was, clean the table, right? God is looking for servants, and all of us are servants in one measure of another. Servants that do the will of God wholeheartedly, heartily as unto the Lord, and young and old can do that. Children, I want to encourage you, go bless your mommy this afternoon. When she says pick up the toys, sweep the floor after you're done. Just do it because it's fun to do, because we get to help mommy. You get to go preach. You get to go do the chickens. You get to go do the dishes, right? Do you get to, do you follow? It's an attitude. It's a be attitude. When we get to do these things, you don't have to do them. Nobody has to do them. We get to do those things. And when you get that dynamic changed in your heart and in the church, there's no problem getting done what needs done and doing it well. And may that characteristic stand out here at this church and in our homes. Whether it's wives to your husbands and husbands to your wives, and let's put the trouble thing behind. Let's just make it all joy. We get to. When we start focusing on it that way, that we get to build the bridge, then you don't have to build one anymore. It's a big difference. And so he says here, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In the end, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a job. And doing it well speaks volumes to those around us. So yeah, may the Lord bless and help us. We need his help. It says that, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity, or love. Love is, God is love, and love is what adds the fullest dimension to all these things. If it's just done as a form or done because we have to, we really miss the point. So God help us to do this because we love our God, because we love each other, because we care about each other, not because we have to. And if that makes us search our heart, brothers, today while you have breath, search your heart, because there's nothing better to live for than others. Others, Lord, others. You know, may this my theme be. I can still hear that from years ago, and it's true today. God help us to do that well. Lord bless you.